This is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. I'm Eddie, your host, and you're watching the Dean Show. Thank you for tuning in to another exciting episode. We're going to be talking about Easter, its origins, with the author of Holiday Myths, Dr. Hakeem Quick, who is a PhD, a historian, and he's going to be answering some questions about Easter, its origins, where it originated from, so you can be enlightened here on the Dean Show. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
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 This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
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 Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, fine. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you for being with us here on the Dean Show. People can go to thedeanshow.com to read about you. You're a historian. You're an Islamic scholar. First graduate, American graduate or Canadian graduate? American. From the Medina
Islamic University.
And you got your PhD from?
University of Toronto.
Toronto. So we're talking to an expert in this area that now, Jesus, peace be upon him, who no Muslim is a Muslim unless he believes in Jesus, the same way we believe in Moses, Abraham, Noah, and the last and final message of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. There's some confusion over this mighty messenger. Some people take him as God. Some people take him as the literal son of God. And some people say that he died, was resurrected, and they're celebrating Easter. So people of consciousness that are out there, that you know what, they're wanting to know more. They're not really, you know, settling with the whole Trinity and Jesus dying, you know, and for their sins. So we want to talk about Easter, its origins, and shed some light on the confusion so people will have a better understanding.
Right.
Talk to us about this holiday, Easter.
Again, it is important for us to look at the two streams. One stream is the stream of Tawheed, monotheism. And that is where the great messengers of God, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, came to the earth. And we know there was Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, so many of these great messengers who came to the world and taught the people that they should not worship human beings, they should not worship created things, but they should worship the Creator Himself.
So did they come with different religions for different times? Like here God sent a messenger and said, worship me as a calf. Another one said, worship me as a man. Another one said, worship me as a woman. Was God doing that?
No,
one message.
What we see is that, you know, the Quran is saying in the chapter of the Bee, verse 36, and verily we have sent to every nation a messenger that they worship one God and stay away from false gods. So the unifying factor in all of the messages is Tawheed, and that is monotheism, the strict belief in one God. It is the first and greatest commandment, where God is saying, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And this is the way it was with all of the messengers. And so coming into the life of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, from our perspective, and we see ourselves again, not as being something new, but as an extension of the belief in one God. From our perspective, he was a mighty messenger of God sent to the children of Israel. He came not to destroy or to change the law of Moses. He came to fulfill the law. And he received the Injil, he received the Gospels. And because of his teachings, although the teachings were so life-giving and the miracles that happened to him, he was actually misunderstood and he was driven away. And the Roman Empire at the time saw him as a revolutionary or subversive. And because of this, he was under attack. He came with a very straightforward belief. He used to dress very simply, sometimes wear no shoes, a very humble person. Not the image that you get, this godlike image that you get, which is really Michelangelo who drew his uncle in the Sistine Chapel. Mm-hmm. It's not that individual. This is a simple person, even described in some of the biblical descriptions as a person with curly hair and skin like burnt brass, completely different.
Would he resemble like someone from the Arabian Peninsula?
Like right a Semitic person from the Middle Eastern area.
Yeah.
That's what he actually was.
Not blonde hair, blue eyes.
No, that's Michelangelo. He drew his uncle in the Sistine Chapel, and then everybody took the picture as being, you know, Jesus Christ. But Isa alayhi salam, he was a carpenter. So his hands were tough. His feet were, you know, tough. It's not the image that you get. It's a completely different image. The important issue, however, is the message. And that was the straight belief in one God.
So where's the Easter coming from now? What's
now,
this
we're
all
taught,
about?
Again, we are taught that Isa alayhi salam, when he was under this pressure, he gathered his followers together in the Last Supper.
Wait, someone's just heard you say Isa alayhi salam, and now our brothers in humanity, the Christians, what are they talking about Isa? We're talking about Jesus. Ours is Jesus. Who's Isa? What are you
right,
talking
so
about?
Right, so Isa is literally the Semitic way, the Arabic way of saying Jesus.
So, because the English language wasn't around, was it?
Right.
So, okay.
So this is just a mispronunciation of the word, actually.
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. But we'll say Jesus so people can, you know, be sure what we're saying. So now, Jesus calls his followers together for a Last Supper, Al-Ma'idah. And Allah, God, brings down food on the table. They eat from the food. Now they have a sign from God. And within that, Jesus prays to God, save me by any means necessary. So according to our understanding, after this Last Supper, Jesus was raised. And the Romans continued. Allah knows best what happened. There's a lot of different reports. Somebody was on the cross. But according to our teachings, the Quran says, "Wama qataluhu, wama salabuhu, walakin shubbiha lahu."
Who said this? Is this the verbatim word of God?
This is the Last Testament saying they did not kill him, they did not crucify him, but it was made to appear to them that they did.
This is Allah, the creator of all that exists, the creator of Jesus, Moses, the one God. He is revealing this. He's saying this.
That's right, because even according to the traditions of Judaism and Rome, that, you know, the death on the cross is the death of a criminal. So it is
kind of like a lecture chair?
Yeah, it's even worse than that because it's humiliation. Because when you're dying on the cross, obviously, you know, it is a very humiliating thing for a person to die in front of other individuals.
So the cross saying that he was saved from this humiliation?
So we believe he was saved from the humiliation. The point is, he is raised.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's alive and he will return before the day of judgment. So this is our understanding. Some of the Christian churches come later and say, no, he was on the cross and he died and then later he was resurrected. That is another debate within itself. The key issue, however, is that originally Jesus was sent clearly with the belief in one God. There is no doubt about that. And the belief in focusing not on natural things, but focusing on the Creator. Now, in Europe itself, in other parts of the world, was sun worship. In sun worship, the people are following the movements of the planets, they are following reproduction, and they are following the seasons. So in the spring season, called the spring solstice, during that time, winter has ended. And remember, winter in the northern countries is death. It's snowing outside, the trees are dead, animals hibernate, nothing is around. If you don't have central heating, somebody's going to die in your own family. So it's a time of death and famine, and it's very dark out in the northern countries. But when the spring comes, it is a time of life. So therefore, they developed a nature cult, and the goddess for the cult, her name was Ostre, or Easter. And they believed that Easter would wave her wand, and everything now turns green. So this is the concept now. And that's the reason why people today, if you mention the word Easter, they will say bunny rabbits, chickens, eggs, lilies. They'll talk about fertility symbols, natural. They won't talk about Jesus. They won't talk about, you know, the Jewish law of Moses. Because what happened is somehow, somewhere along the line, the followers of Jesus, what was left of his message, was incorporated into the nature belief. So therefore, instead of death, winter, changing into spring, resurrection of nature, it was now the death on the cross and the resurrection. So they amalgamated the two so that those who worship nature and the changing of nature, they could celebrate alongside of those who had the teachings of Jesus. So what this has created is a confusion for those who want to go back to the original message and to be involved in pure revelation and to follow the message of God. They are confused between the nature-based religions, sexuality is pushed up in the front, and between the law of God, where sexuality has its place, and where respect is there, society is there, and all worship is for the Creator of the heavens and the earth.
Only for the one Creator, the one Supreme Being, God
That's
Almighty.
Right. That's
okay,
right.
We're going to take a break and be right back with more here on The Dean Show.
One God, worship Him alone. Do what He wants you to do. Put your desires, this thing inside you that just wants this and wants that, and you just can't get enough. You know what? You never get enough until the dirt's in your mouth. Don't let it come to that. Be sincere and honest. Ask the one who created you to guide you. It's the first step. Put off chasing all the women and the good times and the parties and this and that.
There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Don't wait. You never know if death would come today for you or not.
It's a way of life brought to us by the messenger, best of mankind. Show us the way to Allah's grace. This is the Deen of Islam.
Back here on The Deen Show with Dr. Abdullah Hakim Quick. We're talking about Easter, and we never want to offend anybody. We're just trying to deliver the truth and have people ponder and think. So you're an historian, a scholar in this area. Tell us now, did Jesus, peace be upon him, who's beloved to our heart, did he ever call people? You used to be a former Christian, and you investigated other world religions, right, and this one in particularly. Do you ever see him calling people to worship himself as a god next to God?
This is what I found in the beginning, that really there was a contradiction between the doctrine of some of the churches and the actual sayings and teachings of Jesus. Because when you look at the sayings and teachings of Jesus, who said, I did not come to destroy or to change the law of Moses, but I came to fulfill the law, you will see that he was a strict monotheist, because that's the first commandment. And as the Quran says itself, the last testament, when it speaks about Jesus and his mother, it said, Kana yakulani ta'am, they used to eat food. So by saying they used to eat food, it means they're human beings. So he was a humble human being. He was a prophet. He was a messenger. Miracles came. He was able to cure the sick, the lepers, make the blind to see. But he always said, I did this by the permission of God. This is not me who's doing it. I am a vessel of the power and mercy of the Creator. And that is a difference between the two beliefs, because within the Mediterranean region, the Greek and Roman concept gave godlike status to people, or it made the gods seem like people. So therefore, when you see Zeus or you see Jupiter coming down to earth and getting angry with people, and then he has a human being and his son is Hercules. So this is gods intermingling with people. So that concept was there in the ancient world, Mithras. The concept of Mithras, who is this individual who is the son of God, who comes down to sacrifice himself for human beings. His sacred day is the seventh day of the week, which we call now Sun Day. His followers used to put an ashen mark on their head. He had a communion made of wafers like bread and wine. These teachings existed. They were not in the law of Moses. It was not amongst the recorded teachings of Jesus, peace be upon him. And so the amalgamation comes where the form of religion, where even the sign of the cross is the symbol of eternal life that was used thousands of years before Jesus. This is amalgamated into the teachings. And so what we're trying to say is, with all respects, for people who are searching for truth, we need to separate those things that are folk fables and folk culture from revelation. We have to separate the two because we want the revelation. We want to submit to God and to be as pure as we possibly can, and not to be submitting to material things and worshiping idols or worshiping nature goddesses and whatnot. We've gone past this point. There are many people who have gone past that point, and they want to know, what did the prophets actually say?
So tell us now, Dr. Abdul Hakim, quick, for the person who says, look, you mentioned monotheism. Well, we're monotheists too. We believe in one God. Three, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one God. You believe in one God. It's the same thing. Yeah. Well, how would you respond to this?
I would respond to say that go back to the ancient teachings of Plato. And you will see in Plato's teachings, he believed in a type of logos. He believed that there was the one reason for things to be, is like the Father, and then there is the Son, and then there is the Holy Spirit. This actually came out of Plato's teachings. You will also find in ancient Egypt, they had Horus, Isis, and Osiris. The ancient Indians also had this concept in Hinduism. So the Trinity concept was not a new concept. It was in the ancient world. Again, it has nothing to do with the Old Testament. It has nothing to do with Jesus' his teachings. But it is an amalgamation to bring that concept in, because strict monotheism does not divide God into three parts. Nor does God have the ability or even want to change himself into a human being and come down on earth. This is part of the Greek-Roman mythology. It's not part of the teachings that came to the great prophets of monotheism. So what we're saying is that we want to separate folk culture from revelation. We want to go back to the pure teachings that would be in line with the original teachings of Abraham, of Jacob, of Moses, of Jesus, Muhammad, peace be upon them, all of the righteous prophets. That is the family of Islam. And we don't see a difference between ourselves and the original pure followers of Moses, the pure followers of Jesus. We are all originally coming from the same source, and we will eventually go back to the same source.
Tell us now, Sheikh, for the person who's confused, this is making sense. Only worshiping the Creator, not what He created, that's submitting right. to Him on His terms, not right. your desires, your opinions, your wants, and everything. Submit to God. But now, does it start with praying to God alone and asking for guidance? Because you see a lot of people praying through Jesus and saying, look, Jesus said that no one comes to the Father except through me. Mm. Or they'll pray through the creation to get to God. What's the severity of this? Why is this something that God is going to not be pleased with? That this is insulting to God? And why would it be insulting to God?
Well, we have to remember that the first and greatest commandment of the ten is that you should worship one God. So this is the greatest commandment. And you'll see within the teachings of all of the prophets that the most important aspect is monotheism, tawhid, the belief in one God. And shirk, polytheism, is considered to be the worst possible sin that a human being can commit.
Is that blasphemy?
That's blasphemy, and it's polytheism. You know, so it's really serious thing. It takes us out of the realm of the monotheistic prophets. And so it's really important for people of conscience, of innocent people, searching people, to pray to God themselves. Make a special prayer to the Creator. Ask the Creator to guide you. Because guidance is really a personal thing. Religion cannot be forced on other individuals. It is not a debate. It is not a certificate you get in a university. That is something given by God Himself, by the Creator. So those who are searching should pray to God. Ask God to guide you. As we constantly say, Muslims say constantly in their prayers, اِهْدِينَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. Even though we are Muslims, we believe, we submit, we constantly ask Allah to guide us. And that is the most important thing for people today.
That is so simple to understand. Asking God, starting with wanting it, and then asking God Almighty alone, not His creation, not going through Muhammad or through Jesus or through anybody. But why do you think it is that, you know, many people, they fall into this trap? They fall into this trap of calling on other than God. They feel like, you know what, we can't go straight to God because we're not holy enough.
Our problem as human beings, one of our great challenges, is that we are tested constantly with our senses. We taste, we see, we hear. And so therefore, material things, it is easier to worship something material, something you can see, something you can hear, something which is visibly in front of you. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason why sun worship was always the greatest worship in the ancient world. Because the sun is the largest of the creation. The sun gives you heat and life. And so people naturally were geared toward the sun. But when we get the full picture, we realize that the sun is a creation in itself. That the universe was once one unit, and it was split apart. This is the Big Bang Theory. And this is what the final testament, the Quran, says in the chapter of Anbiya, that this is the creation. So therefore, it's easy to worship the material things because that's right in front of us. But where the challenge is for the greater picture, to see the Creator who has created the systems, who has created all the things that we see, all the things that we taste. That is the challenge on human beings. It is a natural thing. The child, when the baby is born, as the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, every child is born on the fitrah, in a natural way. The child cries out to the mother. The child has a natural belief that the mother will respond, that the creation is there to benefit him. It's a natural feeling of the oneness of God in every child. That, we believe, is Islam. So every child originally is a Muslim. And that does not mean they speak Arabic or they live in the Middle East. This is something all races, all nationalities, everybody is a Muslim in the beginning. And it is their family that then gear them towards their culture. If the culture is based on sun worship, it is based on nature. If it is based on worship of the dollar bill or the pound or the rupee or the real, then that's the way they go. If it is based on the worship of God, then they are geared toward that. What we say now is, we are an age of information. We are an age of knowledge. So we need to pray to God, investigate, and try to find the true religion, and ask God to keep you on the straight path.
We'll be right back here on The Deen Show with more. Sit tight.
I just want to say, very simple message.
He is the maintainer.
One of the beautiful things about our religion of Islam is the emphasis on direct ritual and prayer to God directly. There is no intermediary.
The lights will go on after the party, and the party will end.
It's very simple and very clear. There are no superstitious rituals, no strange incantations.
Time is running out. We might not make it till tomorrow. And this is something that we need to think about.
It's a way of life brought to us by the messenger, best of mankind. Show us the way to Allah's grace. This is the Deen of Islam.
Back here on The Deen Show with Dr. Abdullah Hakim Quick, and we're talking about Easter, and you're linking it back to these had pagan origins, right? Jesus never preached, teached, or called anybody to worship him. He never, ever explicitly said that, look, I'm God, worship, or I'm the Son of God, okay? Well, some people would say, look, before I go to my main question, people say, we don't worship him as God, he's just the Son of God. How would you respond to this?
Again, it is how you use the word son. Because really, you'll see even in biblical traditions that human beings are the children of God. You'll see the children of Israel called the children of God. So in a sense, because a human being has something from the Creator, our soul, we are all children of God in the sense of the soul, because it comes from the Creator. If you take it to an animal level, the Son is from the Father. This is an animal thing. This is where the mythology comes in, where the human being is literally the son of the Creator, like Hercules is half God and half man. So this is a mythology-based concept. It's a nature-based concept. So that's a different play on words. So people are using the same word, but they have a different concept. Muslims, we say we're all the children of God. God is the Father in the sense of He's the Creator, Sustainer. He is the one with the most power, the author of the systems of life. So that is a fatherly figure in a greater sense.
Metaphorically?
Metaphorically.
But not literally.
It is not animal father.
Yeah.
Animal father is the one who had a sexual relationship with your mother.
That's an insult to God.
Right. You're putting down God to be a human being. And as the Quran said about Jesus and Mary, they used to eat food. So if you eat food, that means you was hungry.
And you're going to the bathroom.
And you're going to go to the bathroom. And that is something which the Creator is far above, because the Creator is not part of our world like a created being. That's the difference in Creator between Al-Khaliq and Al-Makhluq. The Creator is the one who is perfect and who is the creator of everything. The creation is the one who is created, who has hunger, who has thirst, who lives, who dies. That's the creation. So the original religions of all the prophet separated creator from created. And so by doing that, everything is in the right perspective. When you take the creator and make him created, now we're causing a confusion, because God can get angry like a human being. God can make mistakes. God can come down on earth and cause confusion. And people lose their relationship with the Creator. They lose their respect for religion. And this is what is destroying belief in many people, because they see the gods as just larger forms of human being who desire women and who want power and struggling with each other. When we say Allah Azza wa Jal, we are talking about the mighty, the majestic, who is perfect, the creator, the one who has knowledge of all things, the one who existed before human beings existed, before anything existed. We cannot describe the creator. We cannot put any human or natural physical quality on the creator. That is the teachings of the first commandment, of the Ten Commandments. That is the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and all those righteous ones who came from the beginning of time. And that is the teaching, I believe, that human beings need to return to in this turbulent age that we are living in today. Because we are worshipping money, we are worshipping sex, we are worshipping our tribe, we are worshipping power. How many people want to be president or prime minister or king, and they're fighting each other instead of submitting to the Creator, instead of looking at life as a test and trying to assist each other and realizing how weak and humble we actually are? People try to be gods on their own. I believe it's important for Muslims and all people of conscience, go back to the sources, investigate, humble yourself, turn to the Creator, and realize that our life is short and we are going on to the real life. That is after death. That's the transition. And we want to enter into that world having pleased the Creator, so that we can be pleased with what is coming in front of us.
And that's so eloquently and beautifully put. Thank you so much. We're out of time. And we hope to have you back here on the Dean Show. Thank you once again for being with us. May God Almighty, the Creator, Allah reward you.
Ameen.
And thank you for sitting through another episode of the Dean Show. As you can see, Easter, really, when you look deep into it, has nothing to do with the teachings of Jesus, peace be upon him, who is beloved to our hearts. No Muslim is a Muslim. And Muslim is simply one who has submitted, consciously made the decision that I'm not going to worship the creation, I'm going to worship the one creator. And this is what Jesus brought and taught to all of his followers, that don't worship the creation, worship the creator. And so did Moses, Abraham, Noah, and the last and final message of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And they never taught or brought these ideas that man has invented, concocted, that God could be a man, that God Almighty is having sons and daughters and all these other man-made inventions that the prophets were free of. The prophets came with that simple message: worship the Creator, not his creation. So you got to listen to an expert, an historian, someone who was a former Christian and investigated all the different world religions and came to that conscious decision that, you know what, Islam is the way of life that's from the Creator, so I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to submit to God on his terms, not my desires. And this is what we encourage everyone to do out there. To learn more, you can also reach us at 1-800-662-ISLAM. And until next time, peace be unto you.
It's a way of life brought to us by the messenger, best of mankind. Show us the way to Allah's grace. This is the Deen.
din of Islam.